This show is recorded May 17th, 2017. Join me, animal naturopath Dr. Kim Bloomer, nothing veterinarian about me, as a host of The Doggone Truth, where I don't whitewash, I just speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. It's natural, it's raw, it's the bone of fide truth. Join me today as we delve into another topic on dogs, their nature, and their needs. And just so you know, I don't separate my faith in God from what I do. He is the reason. So you'll hear about him in every single show and how much he loves us and all of his creation. I also talk about essential oils and their role as tuning forks and the laws of health that God gave us and his animals to live and be well naturally. Can you dig it? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32.
Today we're going to talk about the planet, the animals, the environment. It's a subject near and dear to my heart, very passionate about it. Started for me many, many years ago. I've always been passionate about animals, but the whole thing with the environment and our legacy on this planet has been much more, the older I get and the longer I'm alive, the more I see and the more I feel that I know that actually we can make a difference. And it's not about judging others or putting people down or any of that, because as you can tell, looking at what, when we look around at this planet, that hasn't done any good. We've had cover-ups and laws and lobbyings and all of this stuff to cover up everything, but it's in plain sight more and more and more. With this vast planet, it shouldn't be like this. With all of these people, I actually believe there's more people who care than don't. But a lot of people don't know why bother, because right. It's not going to make any difference. Or everything we do just seems like it doesn't do any good. But I'm here to be as living proof that it does. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And we do hear this. We all live here, but who cares as long as it doesn't affect me directly, right? Oh, wrong, because it does affect all of us. This affects everybody. And the things I was seeing in the past week, I don't think was by accident, because the next show is always on my mind. And I think I'm seeing it because it's coming up. It's probably around me all the time, but it comes up when my mind is focused on that particular thing. Okay. I see more of it. And it's even like if you're looking for a new car, if you're looking to buy a house, it's like everything comes up for you. And just because that's where your attention is drawn. And I think that that's the case here. Many, many years ago, I would venture to say it was probably about 28 years ago, when the whole Earth Day thing started. And I was all for it. And I'll tell you why. Way back when, Jeannie and I, and we ain't going to tell you when, but we were back in high school back in that time. We were 70s kids. During that time is when the whole don't litter campaign came up. And I'm the kind of person that's just a neatnik anyway. I'm in our home, in our yard. You know, I like to declutter. I don't like to clutter. Right. And I feel like, even now, I feel like there's just too much stuff. We all have too much stuff. And I know there's a whole minimalist movement going on right now, too. So hopefully this will resonate more with you who are in that mindset. And as people move towards that kind of a mindset, which I don't think is a bad thing, I think we all have too much stuff, too big houses, too much everything. And it does affect the environment. Having such gargantuan houses and all of it, why? I don't understand it. Honestly, it's ostentatious and most people really can't afford it. They're living paycheck to paycheck. They're just broke at a higher level than those of us who live in smaller houses or whatever. And I happen to know some people that decided to go from their great big house to a tiny house, part of the tiny house movement, and they live on beautiful land in a tiny home, and they enjoy nature, and they grow their own food, and they're doing permaculture. They're raising some of their own animals. It's awesome because everything is recyclable. Everything is being done with that care and consideration in mind. And I just thought, wow, it's so awesome to see younger people doing this and wanting to be a part of that. This Don't Litter campaign came up, and I thought, that is so awesome. And I remember at the movie theaters where it would say, throw your trash in the trash receptacles. Remember that commercial, Jeannie, that would come on?
Yeah, there were several.
Throw your trash in the trash receptacles. It was like a cartoon thing. And I remember
and give
that.
Give a hoot, driving, don't pollute.
Right, give a hoot, don't pollute. And I'm going to bring up a hoot pretty soon here, and I've talked about them before. But I remember being in my car and going out, and I was always going out and hanging out and having a good time and partying, and I had some friends in the car, and one of them flicked something out the window. It was either a Coke can or it was something. And I said, you do that again and you're walking. And she She goes, what are you talking about? And I, you know, I didn't hang out with the sweet girls, okay? I hung out with the really rough crowd back then. This is where I was at in my whole lifestyle. And thank God, literally, I'm not anymore. But that's where I was. And this girl was no punk, if you will. She looked at me and she goes, like, excuse me. I said, you throw anything out the window. Back then, you would get ticketed for litter being thrown out your window of your car. I don't think the police can keep up with things like that nowadays. They're too busy chasing people that are texting while driving, for crying out loud. Ah, that's another topic. Anyway, I said, you're in my car, I get ticketed, you're paying it, and I'm not going to have that happen more than once, and you will be walking. And I said, you can save that till we get to the house to throw that away. Wow, you're sure a stickler. I said, yeah, why are you throwing that out? Who's going to pick that up when you throw it? And that's kind of been my attitude. This was right out of high school. I was still a teenager and had that attitude then, and it's never left me. Since we've moved out here to the high desert where I live, and kind of, it was very much more rural now. It's just been, oh, good grief, the so-called progress of building businesses and homes everywhere. And with it has come an increase in influx of environmental waste. People just throwing their trash out. And not only that, but landscapers and contractors throwing it wherever they feel like it without any care or consideration for the environment. And as I've mentioned on previous shows, the bad thing is when we've called the city to have them come pick up the big stuff, they just bulldoze it. They just pick it all up in big bulldozers, and all of the environment is affected because the plants are all plowed under everything. It makes it worse. It's better during the cleanups, when we have organized cleanups, that people can come out and just pick up the stuff and the environment remains intact. Because right now I'm seeing all this clear cut area from that. It's going to take years for it to grow back. A lot of times when you clear cut an area out here, then those that are riding dirt bikes think, hey, it's an additional dirt bike place, you know, so it doesn't rally very fast. I learned my lesson with that. If it's landscaping, I'll probably just let it slide, you know, because somehow it will biodegrade eventually, right? It won't look like it's supposed to, but at least the nature can take over in that case. With the contracting materials, that isn't the case. And there's half a dozen of one and six of another. I mean, it's a catch-22. So to talk about what the impact has been in my own environment with myself, the area where I walk and run with my dog, one of my dogs, where my husband walks with the other one, and we've participated in the big cleanup and picked up, and there's a reason why. So many times we'll see it, and this is happening in all of the beaches and the oceans all around. It's just terrible what's happening to the animal. And I think that was my first, from the first Earth Day back about 28 years ago, and I saw what was happening with the animal back then. I remember we used to buy sodas and beer and all that, and would cut up the thing that the six packs come in. I would cut those all up into tiny pieces so it wouldn't end up around a duck's neck or a goose's neck or a turtle wrapped around their girth. And it really causes them so much suffering. And even worse, there's fishing nets that are left out in the ocean now. In addition to all the pollution we're throwing off of these big cruisers for
cargo ships.
Not just
and the cruise ships as well.
Yeah. They're dumping everything out into the ocean, and there's so much plastic, and plastic doesn't biodegrade. And these animals are ending up with it stuck. They found, I think it was one of the whales, and it died, obviously, because it had so much plastic in its stomach. It's causing such grave harm and suffering to the animal population. I saw a duck in a video, and I know that if they took the picture, they got him and cut the line off, but it was a fishing line wrapped all around his beak and all over him, and he couldn't eat nothing. He was going to die if somebody didn't get the thing cut off of him. They call them ghost lines that are left behind, fishing lines and nets, and it's just causing so much trouble. And then you've got all the pollution gathering in that too, and the animals are just not going to be able to, they can't get these things off of them. I saw an owl that had a fishing line caught around his, he was probably diving to catch something in the water, and it snagged him, and he was just stuck there. He would have died, couldn't get away. And this guy, a fisherman, was really cool, came in at great risk to himself because that owl could have clawed him, bit him, anything. And he wore big gloves, so he was smart. He was watching that it wouldn't come at his face or anything, and cut that off of him. And the owl seemed to know he was helping him.
He
was spreading his wing and cutting it to make sure it was all off of him. So the owl watched him, and then he stood there for a while and looked at him, and like he was saying, thank you so much. And then in. And I thought, and the owl wouldn't have to do that if somebody hadn't left their fishing line behind. So what I have done in my own environment, it's just in my nature, but it's also, to me, an example of one person making a difference. You guys have probably all heard the quote from this little boy that was on the beach, and all of these starfish were out on the beach. And he was throwing one back into the water at a time, one back, and there was thousands of them. And this man came along and he said, son, what are you doing? And he says, I'm throwing a starfish into the water, back into the water, throwing them back into the water. And he goes, but look at all of them. You can't possibly make a difference. And he said, made a difference for that one, made a difference for that one. Each one he threw in, he made a difference for. That one was going to survive. And that's how I feel that we can view this, that we can look at this as a way to do our part. I can't control the people that, what they're doing, other people are doing, throwing that garbage out, partying out there and throwing all their junk out there, whatever they're doing, the landscapers, the contractors, but I can make a difference with what I can do. So I have always carried bags with me every single day that I go out there so I can pick up what I can pick up. I pick up recycle and I pick up trash. And I bring the recycle stuff home and put it in my recycle bin, glass, paper, plastic, and the other one, aluminum. And those all get recycled that I pick up. And then all the trash gets thrown in my trash can and then it goes out to the landfill where it's supposed to go. At least it's in one place that way. That's all I can do. I do report things, and what I don't understand is why people are dumping furniture and clothing and all that sort of thing out in the environment, because you can take those things to the Goodwill.
Absolutely.
You can take them to homeless shelters. You don't have to dump them in the environment. Why or why? Those of you who are listening, I would have to believe you care so much about the planet and the animals and the environment. You can do your part. If you're out walking and running or out wherever, carry something with you to pick this stuff up in, and don't worry about, oh, this stupid person. I've been there. I've been angry at calling them names and frustrated, but then my cousin gently reminded me, yeah, but you're able and willing and can, and that makes it all worth it, that you can and are willing to do something about it. So be grateful that you can and look at it that way. Mm-hmm. And I've gone back over the same area over and over and over and over, and there's the trash and there's stuff thrown out, and I pick it up and over and over and over again. What if I hadn't, though? What if I just said, whatever, I'm never going to make a difference? Do you know what a disaster the area I run and walk in would look like?
You wouldn't be able
because
to run
because I'm one
walk
person.
In it.
No, I know, and I've cleaned up that hole. To get the main stuff cleaned up, it took months picking up on a daily basis. And now I just still pick up and I do report the things that, like furniture and beds and mattresses and clothing and all that, that can be done something with. And I've even seen where people throw washers and dryers and things and refrigerators out. Guess what? Those can be recycled too. You can take
those
too. In fact, I know who picks those up. It will be the guys that have businesses that sell used refrigerators and washers and dryers. And they'll come pick them up at your house. You
They'll
don't have to drive them out and dump them and then risk the chance of getting cited for illegal dumping.
Right.
Because I know in my area, if they catch you, most often two things are going to happen in our area. They're going to not only fine you heavily, but they're going to assign you to clean up entire areas. We've heard of up to 6 months where they're making you do it every weekend. Every Saturday, your Saturday will be given over for 8 hours to clean up other people's trash. And I don't feel a bit sorry for the people that are having to do that, because they got caught dumping illegally instead of taking it to the legal dump that they can go to.
Yeah. If you can load it up in a pickup truck to take it to a illegal dumping ground, why can't you load it up and take it where it's legal, or, like you said, drop it off where somebody can use it?
Right. Like
it just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Or the shelters. There's so many places that will come. There's the Ark of... I know here we have a thing called Ark of New Mexico, which is for the disabled citizens that will pick them up and resell. There's a lot of these kind of organizations that will come and pick up your stuff to resell, and that's how they make their money for whoever it is they're helping. There's so many, and I've known about all of these. I've had so many ways that I've done that. Or, you know what? You can sell it on Craigslist.
There you go. Yeah, make a couple dollars. What have you got to lose?
And you don't have to dump it.
Right.
That's what I don't understand. There's no reason for this kind of dumping. It's just blatantly wrong. It really, really is wrong. It's just wrong. But what I have done in my area has made a difference. And I am the squeaky wheel with the city here, because they'll say, oh, she reported again. you know, and there's something like that. And but it's made a difference in what the area. I remember when I first started walking out here and seeing all the junk everywhere, and I was like, this, I can't handle this. We got to do something. So I did make a difference in the area and for the wildlife in my area. I even pick up glass that's been broken all over. People have thrown out mirrors and things. And all that goes through my mind is, oh my gosh, what if a coyote's running at night over this? Or what if a rabbit is? Or what if, you know, a ground squirrel is? There's road runners out here. There's, and even snakes. And I'm thinking, that's just sad. I mean, it's horrible. Senseless. My husband and I have picked up tons of trash. And I think literally over the years we've been here, it's only been as much as we've picked up and cleaned fields. And it doesn't stay perfect because there are people who don't care. I can't be responsible for that, but I can for my area. What we have out here is burrowing sand owls that are around in the summertime. And
so cute.
They are. I love them. It matters for them. It matters for the mice.
Absolutely.
It matters for everything out here. We have such an array of wildlife in my area where I'm living here. I have never been around so much wildlife till I moved out here and could see it. I mean, I've lived in New Mexico for all my life, but it's just to live in the midst of it has given me much more compassion and drive to share this kind of a message and to see them and be able to be so close to them, to see them every day. I've seen up close and personal with coyotes. That's always a little bit harrowing and adrenaline and rush, let me tell you, but especially with my dog, more concerned for her than anything. I think they would avoid me if it was just me, because they usually do. When I've run out there alone, they never come showing themselves, but when my dog is with me, that's when we have the encounters. It's been for me to be able to see all of them, to see all these animals in their native habitat, and to know that we've encroached so much, and yet they adapt and manage somehow. Like I've said before, where we're giving all the scrap from our kitchen to the rabbits out here that live around my house. Now they're not
be a rabbit
in my yard
now.
Right. Well, no, you know, they aren't trying to get into my yard like they used to and eat all my flowers and plants.
They are eating
what I'm throwing out instead of trying to get in my yard. So takes care of my kitchen waste at the thing, and they get good stuff because my husband buys them all kinds of leafy greens too.
Right. And you eat organic food. So yeah, they're very well fed. They're going to be healthy.
It's really awesome for me.
Which in turn will feed the coyotes and the owls and the birds of prey, and they're going to be healthier. So there's that whole circle of life there that you're contributing to.
I think it's really awesome. And my husband and I both felt very moved to literally move out into this area. And when I saw this area and this house, I went, yep, this is me. And it's a similar area to how I grew up in. I think it just brought that all back for me. Seeing all of the so-called progress, you know, I guess when humans do it, it's called progress. And when nature does it, it's called destruction.
Right.
To me, it looks like destruction with all the houses being built in the beautiful open spaces we had and so forth. I don't know. It just really, I felt very privileged to be out here in this much nature around me all the time, seeing roadrunners in my yard and all of the things that happen around me, watching the wildlife. And it's also helped me, I really believe being this close to nature helps you get much more in tune with yourself and with this whole
Absolutely.
Health approach to life, with for animals, respecting this whole cycle of life and nature. It's been very important to me to connect to what I do as an animal nature path to experience this. We've experienced snakes, which is not my favorite thing in the world. All I had to do was stop my husband. A bull snake was in our yard, and I'm like, don't kill him, because, you know, he keeps the mice in control. We need to leave nature as much alone as possible. But when a rattlesnake was in my yard, that was a whole different story.
Yeah, that was a
We made sure he became bird food.
Right.
Well, for the wild. I've seen vultures. Hawk, vultures, everything.
Every
kind of bird you can imagine out here that are desert birds. You know, it's been exciting for me, and I wanted to do my part to help them continue to live. You know, there's quail everywhere. We get to see the mom and dad with the little babies every spring, you know, in the summer, and it's just so exciting to see all the little ones. And I know a majority of them don't make it because they become food. Just this whole cycle of life and how things have unfolded in front of me has given me appreciation for, there were things I was afraid of before that I'm not anymore. You live with this much wildlife around you, including the bugs and everything, and you just learn to deal, right?
You learn to enjoy it, like listening to the crickets crickets and the owls at night, you know, or the coyotes mm-hmm. howling in the background. And when you don't hear it, you miss it.
You do. You really do. And you come to really appreciate it. I remember the first time I heard a hot coyote course, though, I was like, oh my gosh, that's kind of scary. And now
right.
it's like it's part of the whole scene. And it's really,
right.
really beautiful. It's a beautiful synergy there. I want to give you some resources to look up. But let me just give you another place that's doing amazing work. I'm so excited to see this because they're cleaning up the oceans and beaches. It's the number 4, the word ocean, all one word. So the number 4ocean.com. When you support them, they'll also send a bracelet. You can wear it like a badge of honor made from recycled material. It is so cool. And you can sign up for their newsletter, help support them. They have so far on their website, they said they have removed almost 50,000 pounds of material from the oceans and from the beaches. And I think that they set a good example because they're out there. People see them with their t-shirts and them doing their cleanup, and the majority are young people. I'm just so impressed. They're really starting to rally in this country, and I'm seeing such good things come. And believe me, you can make a difference in your area if you'll just, if you're walking that way or running that way or out there, why not?
I think of Pamela Picard telling us about being a drip.
Well,
I think that applies
when
in
she
this
came
case.
And that was years ago. She came on the show and she said, we are each a drip, but when we drip together, we become a stream, a river, an ocean, and oceans make waves. And I think that it's important that we do our part. If we say that we love the animals, if we're all about the whole health, natural health, then we need to be about the environment as well, because there's animals all around us, everywhere,
absolutely.
In the environment. And they make sure that the environment and the plants and all the plants, all of them are suffering with all of this stuff too. When we support that, we're supporting ourselves. We're supporting
right.
the planet. And you want to think about the legacy you're leaving for the next generation and the next. And it sets an example. I know when we were doing the community cleanup last year, it was last fall, we were doing the organized cleanup. It's 2 a year. There's the Great American Cleanup in May, and then there's the what we call the Toss No Mas. It means, in Spanish, it means don't toss anymore. Don't throw out. And don't throw your litter out anymore. So Toss No Mas. The, what are those? I forget it. It's like, I'm thinking of it right, and I can't think of it right. It was one
Boy
of the
Scouts?
Boys, it's the Boy Scouts. Yeah, it was the Boy Scout. One of the Boy Scout troops came out there. And so one-on-one, I was able to talk with some of them and encourage them and tell them how awesome it was that they were doing this and taking of their own time on a Saturday to do this and how important it was to the animals. I was able to just, you know, with different ones of the boys, and they were working so hard. They were being boys, of course, but, you know, some of it was silly, and they were having fun, and their parents were with them, and it was a way to, for them, I said, you're models. You guys are models for the other kids of your generation. Continue this as you grow. And, you know, I was just kind of like, been preaching to them if I'd gotten the opportunity, but I was talking with them and enjoying them, and they might have just thought I was just some older lady, but it didn't matter to me. I wanted to encourage them in what they were doing, and I think we can all do that. This was a different kind of show for us, but it's very important to our whole health walk with our own animals and ourselves, because everything you do leaves a footprint on the planet. Do you want it to be an ugly thing, or do you want it to be a beautiful thing? I personally want it to be a beautiful thing for me to say that I have made a difference. And when I'm dead and gone and somebody else is here and they don't care, nothing I can do about that, but I can make a difference now with the animals that are alive here now, with the environment that's around me now, and with the neighbors that see us doing it. It
there
may never change them, but we don't know that it won't change their children seeing us do it.
You're being an example.
Any way you slice it, you are going to be an example to others.
Right.
And who knows? Somebody may notice someday. And in my opinion, it doesn't matter. God knows. And he sees everything I'm doing, and I want to honor him with that. So that's what also how I'm thinking. And it's also a way of showing how much he's cleaned up in my life. As we started the show and I talked about the person I was then and where he's brought me to now, it's the same thing that's in the environment. There's the same parallel there. Difference what has happened and how much he's cleaned up in my life. It's the same thing in my area where I am now. Wherever we live, we want to make it more beautiful. And my husband and I have planted lots of indigenous plants, an environment that attracts the wildlife, and I get to enjoy it, and they get to participate in it. I have hummingbirds, and they're not dyed water, you know what I'm saying?
Please.
With red
dyed
they're
refined
eating.
Sugar water.
Right, and refined sugar water.
Just remember, it's the truth that makes us free. Thank you for listening, and be well, yo. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. 3 John 1:2. Visit my website at aspenbloompetcare.com to read the blog and the articles, to become part of my essential oils team, and just to learn more. The Doggone Truth Podcast is a production of Aspen Bloom. All rights reserved and may not be resold or utilized in any way without express written permission by Aspen Bloom and Dr. Ken Bloomer. The information I share represents what I, an animal naturopath and an independent distributor of Young Living Essential Oils, have chosen to do to take charge of my own personal health and that of my family and pets. Information learned here is for educational and informational purposes only. It is not meant to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, but rather to motivate you to make your own health care and dietary decisions and those of your pets, based upon your own research and in partnership with your health care providers. I encourage you to dig in and make your own informed decisions through your own personal responsibility, research, application, and due diligence. Thank you.